And we thank you, those of you who are in BBS Radio audience tonight. Again, we are in for a great time as the planet sends. We want to try to provide information and a discussion as we weave our way through this ascension process. And we want you to know that in order to ascend, we must have love for all of creation. We must have love for even that which seems to be evil, wicked, perverse, and crooked, criminal, asinine, because it all proceeds from a single source, and it is all a part of the warp and woof of the fabric of creation for the lesson that we are to learn here on this planet. We are graduating people. We are about to ascend. There are a few pieces that we need to put in place, but I want to emphasize once more that we must maintain absolutely, unequivocally, without any fear of any successful contradictions, we must maintain absolute love and unity consciousness that all things proceed from a single source. From a single source. So they're really in the spirit realm or world or in the world where we all proceeded from in this school that we call planet Earth. We must understand that we ourselves are part of this great cosmic plan. We are graduating, and we must maintain love for everything, everyone. And I know that sounds a little strange tonight. It doesn't sound as if to some, I should say, that it is has the efficacy, the ability to bring about what we need, but yes, it does. So, we are thankful. We are thankful. I see my big brother here, my co-host, Dr. Mills. He's listening by way of computer. I don't know if he can talk or not. I'm going to take him off of mute just for a moment and see if he can talk. Can you talk on that? I'll give you 5 seconds. 5, 4.
I hear you.
All right. How you doing, big brother? How are you?
Doing very well. How are you tonight?
All right. Well, I'm good, man. I just I'm thankful to you for all that you do and all you have done over these, how many years has it been now? 5 years since 2011? You and Pastor, the Royal Priesthood Nation, and we have some exciting things. Anything you want to drop on us tonight before we get started?
Well, just dropped in to listen in. The subject matter really interested me tonight. I've been on that wheel, so looking forward to the lesson tonight. I think Dr. Steger is on tonight, too. So
who is that?
I sent him a message. He said he's supposed to be on tonight.
Who is that?
Dr. Steger from Gulfport.
Okay. What? Give me the first three numbers, rather, of his phone number, and I'll greet him.
I think he has a 214 number.
214, I think I see it. All right, let's see. Doctor, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I'm well. How are you?
Man, I'm excellent. Good, great. How are things down there at the southern end of the state? We're here in Mississippi tonight. I'm broadcasting, and we are live coming from the Delta up in Greenville. So how are you?
All is well on this end.
Okay. Well, we're just excited to have you. I'm going to leave your mic open. So if any time you want to jump in, you may do so. And we're just thankful and grateful to have you with us tonight. And, of course, we have Aladia somewhere in this mix here. Let me see if I can find her, check in with her. I don't see any of the others just yet.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here.
I am here.
All right. There you are. How's it going?
How's everyone this evening?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm looking for some of the other brothers here, and we're going to move forward. Now, we talked about, you know, something very interesting the other last broadcast, and those of you who were listening and have called in, I mean, I've just seen, the board has just jumped. People listening to the recording that we do, of course, these calls are recorded, and they are archived in our archives. We raised a very interesting, somewhat it could be viewed as controversial. But I want to add some science to it tonight and move into what we're going to discuss, because it's critical now. And I'm going to read something out of the book of Jude tonight. Yes, book of Jude. And this is where I choose to start. And the reason I want to start with the book of Jude in the Bible is because it references a book that is not in the Bible, which is the book of Enoch. And it quotes something out of the book of Enoch, and I want you to listen to it. This is very important because some people decided to take that book out, and I'm going to express and show you tonight why they took this book out. And then we'll proceed to lock or to make the connection from last week to this week, and we can stop and talk about it just for a moment, but then we will move on to talk about the language of creation and how to create and why it is important for those who decided to take this book out to give us a language that cannot create. Actually, the language that we have now and that I'm speaking to you in your ears now is a language that was birthed and born out of a dead language. So anything that's dead cannot give life. So we're going to talk about a living life language tonight and try to help you to connect the dots, so that you, in your own personal space now, can become a creator. You were meant to be a creator. Now, let's move into it. The book of Jude has only one chapter. And verse number 14 in that one chapter says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, he references the book of Enoch, and that's very important because where is this book? I mean, what are they talking about? Why don't we have this book in what we call the Bible, the canon, the scriptures? Well, they took it out, but now they validate this book by mentioning a section of it, because if one part is good, then all of it's good, if it is indeed a sacred document. So now I'm going to read to you something out of the book of Enoch, because I have a foundation and a premise to do so, because this book we call the Bible has already given us the authority to use the book of Enoch, because it references the book of Enoch. Now, in the book of Enoch, in the 105th chapter, around the 17th verse, it says something to this effect, that generation after generation shall transgress until a righteous race shall arise, until transgression and crime perish from off the earth, until all goodness come upon it. Last week we talked about a particular people that have a great propensity. They have special gifts, abilities, and talent. And we try to identify those people. Why is that so important? Because of this book here. It says, until a generation after generation shall transgress, become criminals, and unrighteousness shall prevail, poverty, crime, oppression, until a righteous race. Now, that's religious terminology. Let's break it down into scientific terms. And that means a particular group of people. When we lay these people to try to identify these people, we can find these people because these people will inevitably have a great propensity to absorb the incoming energies that are about to hit this planet. We just had a massive solar flare that came out of the sun as I was blowing the shofar for 27 days. We had a five planetary alignment that occurred. These massive solar flares, they went away from the Earth this time. We need to activate these people who now, that the Book of Enoch talks about, because this special group of people, this righteous race, they have a selenium-based melanin that will help them to absorb these energies. And then as they absorb these energies, they will also create a force field around the Earth and around all of us. So, and I want to try to explain that just a little bit. I hope I'm making sense. And in a scientific way. Now, if you try to get it in a religious realm, you're going to miss what I'm saying. Or if you try to get it in a racial context, you're going to miss what I'm saying. This is a natural selection of nature and of creation that has decided that a certain group of people will have a selenium-based melanin, which is a superconductor, that will be able to absorb this incoming energy that is destined to happen. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says in 1-2 Thessalonians, that the Spirit of Christ, in the religious sense, in the biblical sense, scriptural sense, when he comes to destroy the wicked system, he will do so with the brightness of his coming. Now, that's the religious text. Let me explain it to you scientifically. That means a cosmic flash. And a cosmic flash coming from creation. The Creator will use creation in order to correct the wrongs that are on this planet. When this flash happens, these people must be activated to absorb these energies so that they and their macabre field collectively becomes a force field to protect the planet. To protect the planet. I'll read it to you one more time. Generation after generation shall transgress. That means to go across. That means to be lawless. That means to break the law. We all know that laws are being broken. Constitution, no rights, and there's because the love of many shall wax cold, iniquity shall abound, a lawlessness. We're living in a lawless time. Excuse me. It says generation after generation until a righteous race shall arise, until transgression and crime perish from off the earth, until all goodness come upon it. So we've got to find these people. We've got to wake these people up, as we saw last week, and I want to move from that discussion now and dovetail into what we need to talk about tonight, because inside of you, you yourself, Christian One, uses a beautiful illustration that's up on my Facebook page. For those of you who are on Facebook and would like to go there to see it, Chris One uses a beautiful illustration, and he talks about you as a being that's inhabiting or housed inside of a body. And we want to talk about that. Because you as a being, you are in a physical body. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You as a being, how do we know this? Because if you decide to transcend, or for some reason you have to transcend, we take your body and the five senses, the sense that you have of seeing with your physical eyes, sense of smell with your nose, sense of hearing with your ears, sense of touch with your body and your hands, the sense of taste with your mouth, and what's the other one? I forgot. What's the fifth sense? Are you listening to me? What's the fifth sense? Five senses we have: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. I think I got them all. Okay.
Now, you got them.
Thank you. Those are your physical senses, but that's not you. Let me prove to you how that's not you. wherever you are. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to imagine anything. But in your mind, you can speak the word mountain without moving your mouth. You can speak it in your mind. You can speak it right now, the word mountain. You can speak it. And not only can you speak it, you can hear it. So I'm going to pause for 3 seconds and just let you speak the word without moving your mouth, but speak it in your mind. And listen, see if your inner ear can hear the word mountain. Dr. Spiegel? Dr. Mills?
Yes, sir.
Did you speak the word mountain?
I did.
Did you hear it?
I did, loud and clear.
So you didn't move your mouth, though?
I did not.
Your physical ears did not hear it, correct?
Correct.
Now you can, have you ever seen an image or been to Mount Rushmore? Have you ever seen the mountain in, what is it, South Dakota? With the president?
Yes.
Can you see that right now?
If you look
inside them, in your mind, can you see it? I can.
I can.
Are you in South Dakota?
No.
Can you see it with the 2 eyes in front of you?
Not at all.
But you can see it with your inner eye, right?
I can. Yes, sir.
So now you can hear, speak, see with your inner man. I can also smell right now if I just really think about it. I can still smell my mama's kitchen.
Yes, sir.
I can still smell grandma's apple turnover pies that she used to make. I can still smell it, but I can't smell it with my nose and my nostrils that's in my face.
Right.
But I can smell it with my inner nose. Am I making sense?
Can taste it as well.
You can taste it as well. So, yes, you can. And I can also feel the caress and the comforting, loving hand of my mother as she comforts me when I, injured or wounded myself and she was my nurse. I can still feel the touch of her hand. I can still smell my mother's fragrance. Now, that is your inner being. You can also see your past. If I think about it just enough, I can see my past, but I'm not in my past. I can see my past. I can see myself as I graduated from school, walking across the stage to receive my diploma, to receive my degree. I can still remember what it felt like at the graduation as I walked across the stage and I received my honorary. I received my degree. Now, I can also see my future. I can see it. I can see my future with my inner eye. Now, this passage makes sense, and I want to hurry here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 6, I want to get there real quickly because I want to run off because I know some of these brothers here can add to this a whole lot better than me. He said, but when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. Now, here is a principle and a process that you've got to understand. That when you pray, you must pray in secret. Go in the closet. What closet? Inside. And then the Jesus of the Bible says something very interesting throughout the rest of this chapter, all the way to verse number 34, and I'll just say what verse number 34 says. Therefore, take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Now, he says 5 times, take no thought. Now, I want to explain to you why he said 5 times, because in order to get to the place of creation, in order to get to the most powerful self, to you, the being that inhabits this body, the part of you that inhabits this body, you must shut down the 5 senses. You must go in your closet and shut down the five senses. You must shut down the flesh and go into your inner being. And there, it is there where you must see, hear, touch, taste, and feel. You must do it from there. And that is the place of creation. This is the place. Listen to it again. He says, if you do it in secret, you will be rewarded openly. So that means we have to shut our mouths. So all of this praying that we do in public, it has no real efficacy. It has no real power because he tells us when you pray, go into your closet. And he tells us not to pray or not to do this openly. He tells us not to pray publicly. So all of this public praying is not getting anything done. It's not working. I hate to bust your bubble. And let me just quickly say that I have been guilty in my past of doing this before. I discovered this principle myself. But you have to shut down the five senses. And he says five times, take no thought. You have to pray with your being, your spiritual being, not with your flesh. You can speak without moving. And now, what's important about speaking in this manner is because the Most High, when he created, he spoke. He said, let there be, and there was. He said, first thing he said was, let there be light, and light rushed from behind the purple curtain of eternity, according to the science that I've been taught in physics, at 186,400 miles a second, which is the constant speed of light, which is also the number that is found, the constant speed of light, which is found in Numbers, chapter 2, verse 9, when it talks about the number of those that were encamped in the tribe of Judah. It's a very deep, esoteric book. Now, this is just absolutely amazing. I have to pause here just for a moment to just point out this esoteric interpretation of Numbers chapter 2, verse 9, because Judah in verse 3 is told to pitch their encampment toward the rising of the sun. And they are to place the ensign or the standard of their father's house in front of their encampment, which means the sign. And the sign of Judah, Revelation 5 and 5, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So toward the east, the rising of the sun is where the sun is in its full strength. When the sun moves into Leo in July and August, the sun is in its full strength. And so the sun provides light, and that light moves, verse 9, at 186,400 miles per second. Very deep esoteric principle hidden right there because Psalms 84 and 11 says our God is a sun and a shield. Now let me move from there. Let me keep moving. This language, so the Most High spoke, but how did he speak? And what did he speak? Where did he speak? He spoke in the spirit, not in the flesh. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit, and I'm almost there, people, and I'm going to shut down. He spoke everything into existence, and so can you. You can speak everything into existence. But I want to show you, the same people that took the book of Enoch out also switched up something on you in terms of language. Now, I want to read something very important to you out of the book. It's in the Old Testament. It's the book of Zephaniah. The book of Zephaniah, not Zechariah, but the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah. I want you to understand that the book of Zephaniah records something very, very interesting in chapter 3 and in verse number 9. I'm having a hard time here in the Zephaniah. Hold on one second because I want to read this to you. Zephaniah 3 and verse 9 says this, for then will I turn to the people a pure language that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, all capital letters, so that means Yahweh, to serve him with one consent. Now, what is wrong with the language that this book, the Bible, now says that there needs to be a purification of the language and then it has to be a renewal? Well, I'm giving you that language tonight. I'm going to give you this language tonight. I hope you're listening to me. I'm going to give you this language tonight. We already know that if you speak with your mouth, you're speaking with the flesh. But if you want to speak with the spirit, you have to go inside and speak to the spirit and speak in the spirit. From whence creation comes. Now, that is a pure language. I need to say something else about that now. I want to pause just for a moment and check with my brothers, see how I'm doing. Let's do just a quick check here and see what they're registering in what I'm saying. Dr. Mills.
Yes, sir. You know, I live with a linguist, and so it's a difference. I think the scripture says over in Corinthians, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, howbeit he speaketh unto God, howbeit he speaketh mysteries. And then over in Romans chapter 8, it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. And he which searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, for he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. But you're on the right track.
And also he says the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. That's a triple compound word, which means he picks us up and he places his hand over our mouth and he speaks in our stead. So that hidden in that word infirmity is the principle that I'm trying to get across to the people, is that in order to have power, efficacy, and the ability to create, you cannot speak with the flesh. You must speak in the spirit. Now, that scripture is a beautiful scripture that illustrates it in one word, which is infirmity, which is a triple compound word, which really illustrates the principle that we are just discussing that Dr. Mills just brought out. So, now, if you really want to create, you have to shut off the five senses, go inside, and that is a pure language. That is what this is talking about in Zephaniah chapter 3. Now, to move to the next part, and the final piece of this that I'm going to do tonight and present tonight is a piece that comes out of Psalms 19, verses 1 through 3. I want to read those to you. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 3. Now, we've already talked about part of this in when I talked about Numbers chapter 2. But let's look at this. Psalms 19, I'll repeat that, verses 1 through 3. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night to night shows knowledge. Now, listen to that. Day unto day, the heavens declare the glory. Firmament shows his handiwork. And day to day is speaking. It's speech. It has speech. And night unto night shows knowledge. Verse 3 says, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now, what you've got to understand is what that particular passage is saying is that there is something being said above your head. I'll say that again. There is something being said above your head. There is a language. There is a speech. There is a voice. You've got to hear it. And in order to hear it, you have to understand. Now, language... A language means that there have to be letters or signets or something that we can identify. There is only one language on the planet that I know of that is written, which is the same language that is speaking above your head. There's only one language that I know, that is speaking, that is written, that has the same language that's above your head, that's in the stars, Now, if I keep reading this passage in Psalms 19, it says their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of the chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. So I'm looking for this language. The sun has a language. Okay. And the sun is passing through something up there, and it's passing through what we call, if we were using the Bible, we would say Maserah. And the word Maserah means the zodiac. Now, the interesting thing about the language we call the Hebrew language is that each alphabet or letter in the alphabet or the alphabet system has the shape of one of the constellations. For an example, Aleph, which is the A, or the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is in the constellation. It is shaped exactly as the star configuration of the constellation Taurus. Bet, which is the B, is shaped in the exact constellation of Gemini. Gemir is Cancer, shaped in the exact shape of the constellation. Now, this is the creation created by the Creator that's speaking. And the Hebrew letter, they said, we never figured this out. And I'm about to give it to you. That is a language that was spoken. That is a language that was spoken. It is the language of creation. Because in this language, everything that is created from this language because it is in the shape of the constellation. And as the sun passes through these various constellations, the shape of these constellations, as well as the magnitude of the stars, send messages to our planet. Messages. Messages of what? Messages of life. Messages of season. Messages to do this and to do that. Tell the plant. Tell the orange to be orange. Tell the apple to be red. These messages tell you to live, give you energy, give you something in your body called ATP, in your blood. Gives you something, that energy photon. Photonic light, that messenger particles, light that has enough intelligence in it that tells your body when it's as a zygote or as an embryo, tells it exactly what to form, how your eyes are to be configured, how they are to be designed, and the various compartment and complexities of the eye. It has enough information in there to tell the eye what to do, what to tell the blood what to do, tell the 12. All of that information comes from the constellation, so that you are tied, you yourself as a corporal being in a material world, you are literally tied to this constellation or this heaven that's speaking this language, even your very DNA. And that's a subject that we're going to talk about next week. Your very DNA is tied to the creation, which reflects the Creator, which has to mirror the same principles that are inherently innate in the Creator, manifesting creation, comes through to the creature. So the creature, the creation, and the Creator are in a partnership, and they are inextricably, indelibly, inseparable. They are tied together. Now, this language that I'm going to talk about tonight, which is the language of creation. You know how to speak, not with your mouth, but with your mind. You must understand this language is not from left to right. The sun does not rise in the west, which would be equivalent to left if you were looking north. The sun rises in the east, which is right. Now, I want to illustrate that to you because that's very important. It's important to see what has happened to us. And as I explain this, I'm about done. It's important that you get this principle. because you have to train your brain, untrain your brain from left to right to left. Why is that important? I'm glad you asked. It's important because creation is moving that way. The sun is moving that way. And if you have a language that is from left to right, you are moving against creation. Now think about it for a moment. Who gave you a language that moves you into the left brain from left to right rather than right to left? And why did they do it? Why do you have this language? Now think about what I said a little earlier. I will turn to the people of pure language that they all may be able to call upon my name. In other words, we're one to them. In other words, will be able to walk in harmony with me and with the energies of creation. Right now, as we speak English, we are walking in dissonance. We are repelling. We are not attracting. We're not tapping into cosmic powers. I know you guys are just bumping, but let me give you a few scriptures to show you how ubiquitously the Bible talks about this. There is just a preponderance of scriptures. I can't give them all to you, but let me just read how important it is in order for us to train our brain to move from the left side, which is fear-based, fear-based brain activity or brain waves, beta waves, fear-based, unproductive, into the right brain. You have to train it through language, and this language can reprogram your DNA. Now, we have to train our mind from right to left, and the way to do that is with language. The Bible gives it in the religious tones. Please don't be offended by me talking about these religious tones, but I'm going to break it down scientifically to you, but it's hidden and coded in the Bible. Ecclesiastes 10 and 2 says, a wise man's heart directs him toward the right. Listen to this. Listen again. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. Now, that's what the Bible says. So it is foolish, folly, according to the Bible, to move from left to right. Listen to another passage from Ezekiel 47:1 concerning water, which is a beautiful metaphor that points us toward a great principle. The doorway for the lowest side of the chamber was on the right side of the house, and they would go up by winding stairs to the middle, to the third. Excuse me, that's not Ezekiel 47:1. That's 1 Kings chapter 6. I'll read it again.
Bishop,
the doorway.
Bishop.
Somebody.
Bishop.
That's your phone with that echo. You got an echo. Hello? I got you off mute. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just saying there's a feedback, and I can't understand what you're saying.
Okay, that was kind of, I think it was coming from Dr. Mills. I thought it was you, but it was Dr. Mills. I muted him out temporarily. Doc, I'll bring you back in just about 2-3 minutes. Because what I was saying was it's very important to get to the right brain activity, because right brain activity and the brain waves there are at a different EEG amperage than left brain activity. It keeps us locked in beta waves, in fear. We've got to move away from a fear base. And this is what the established, the same folks that took this Book of Enoch out, but left just enough in there for us to make the connection, are trying desperately to keep us locked on the left brain. And they do this because the left brain, I'm repeating myself, your language programs your brain and your DNA. Your language program. So if you want to get to the right brain, you have to start training yourself in reading this language that is consistent, that has the same shape, that we call the Hebrew language, as the constellation that the sun passes through, so that you have cosmic power flowing through your being. to get to the right brain. This is why the scriptures are ubiquitously infused with just a preponderance of metaphors about the right side. In 1 Kings 6 and 8, it says that the doorway for the lower side of the chamber was on the right side of the house. In other words, in order to get into the house of the Lord, the lowest chamber was on the right side of the house, and they went up winding stairwell to the middle. I wish I had time to deal with it. I don't. John 21:6 says, cast your net to the right side. I wish I had time to really tell you what the house and the net were. Jesus is said to sit on the right side. The sun rises from the right side. The sheep are on the right side. The goat are on the left side. The book in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, is in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Hebrews says that he ascended and he sat down on the right side. Stephen says in the book of Acts that he saw him standing on the right side. The angel at the altar when Zechariah when John the Baptist, his father, was told that he would be born, the angel was standing on the right side of the altar. So there's just many, 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 many scriptures. It all points us to this right to left as opposed to left to right. Now, I'm just about finished. I need to talk to you about the law of attraction and the law of repelling. One of the reasons you have not been able to create is because you're locked in a dead language. You're locked in the foolishness of Ecclesiastes 10:2. A wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish man's heart directs him toward the left. So if you can define foolishness however you want to define foolishness. I'm going to stop and open up the Q&A. I've gone far enough for
tonight. Q&A session started.
Those of you that want to engage me and engage these doctors in this conversation, you can do so by pressing star 6 and come into the queue. Star 6 and then 1. And you're in this discussion in the Royal Room. We have just a few moments on air. Those of you who would like to engage in this discussion, go ahead.
Dr. Khalif, I think I finally got it tonight listening to your lecture about the astro language, the star language, because I'm looking at a chart that you shared with us earlier this week, and it finally dawned on me. I'm looking at this chart, and I'm looking at each Hebrew alphabet letter, and then out beside it, it has the different names of the constellations, and it makes total sense when you see this chart. But now my question to you is, who had the wisdom and the knowledge back in those ancient days to write this language? Who were those people?
I'm going to offend a lot of people answering that question, but I got to tell you the truth. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right. To tell you the truth, this is not Hebrew. It's a Bulu. It was written a Bulu.
Okay.
It is committed, the committed priest. Egypt wrote this language inside of the temple. Now, that's very interesting because I want you to understand something that comes out of your Bible. And when I tell people this, I try to be sensitive and compassionate because I know it's going to offend people to say that this language is not Hebrew, but it is a Bulu written by the priests, those African priests. And this is what I have to soften that with, so that people can hear it. And I'm not worried about the offense. I am worried about offense because I don't want to offend people. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is I want them to get to the truth so that they can be empowered. And Acts chapter 7, verse number 22, says that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He is the first person in our Bible that we're given that right. So where did he receive his education? Right here in Acts 7:22. So he was educated in Egypt. Those pyramids, they were aligned up the Nile River all the way into the Gaza Strip with the constellations, Andromeda, Pleiades, Orion. Matter of fact, the Great Pyramid is aligned on the south side to Orion and Sirius. And on the north side, it's aligned to the constellation Draco, the dragon star. Those pyramids all up and down were aligned to the constellation. And this language that we're talking about is written in the temple and in the pyramids. The pyramids were on the west bank. Temples were on the east bank. One symbolized birth. The other one symbolized death. These letters or signets were written there. This is where Moses went to school. The temples were universities. The priests were professors. He matriculated in a 40-year curriculum. He received his doctorate. Here it is, Acts 2. So, to answer your question, and offend probably some people, what we call Hebrew was stolen by a group of people from Khazaria, the kingdom of Khazaria, under the steppes of Russia, between the Caspian and Black Sea, who were Eastern Europeans, who stole this in the 8th century, around 740 A.D., where they brought in these priests in resistance to Christianity, the Christian message, and the Islamic message. They converted in 740 to Judaism or to this, well, there was no Judaism. They converted to this, stole the language, and now they're in control of the world. They control, they create, they control the money that you spend, you have in your pocket right now, the Federal Reserve. Is controlled by these people. The media is controlled by these people. The newspapers are controlled by these people. They are creating the reality with this stolen knowledge that they stole and claim as their own, and it's not their knowledge. And so what we're trying to do here tonight is to put this language back in the hands of the people so that they now can create and own just as these people have owned. Not only do they own that, they also own all of the sports, professional sports. They own the entertainment industry. How are they doing this? What is their secret? How do they own all of the NBA teams and all of the NFL teams and the national baseball? Well, they know the language of creation that we're talking about.
Exactly.
The Federal Reserve is a Federal Reserve, but it's not really part of your government. It's owned by family.
Right.
Just speak this language.
And they know the creative power of it.
Yes. And now,
how old is this language?
I want to get them before we go off air. Hold on.
Okay.
817. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm not trying to knock you out, but.
No.
817. I believe your mic is open. 817, your mic is open. Can you hear me? 817. I don't know what I'm doing here. See if I can find 817 on the board. I think it looks like the mic is open. Yes, your mic is open. 817. Call it. 817, your mic is open. Okay, they're not saying anything. I'll leave the mic open. So go ahead a lot.
Maybe they got shy at the last minute.
Well, that last part was kind of a big deal to swallow. I mean,
Absolutely. But it explains so much of how they possess all the power and stay in a ruling position over so many of us on the planet. Makes total sense. They know that the creative power of this star language.
Correct. Well, everything comes from the stars, all your minerals, all your iron, all your gold, everything. You know, all of the trace minerals that are in your body, all of the minerals that are in your blood, all of this comes from these stars. So this language is so important because it is the tool that must be used in order to create. 817, your mic is open. Anyone else would like to get into this discussion tonight, to pull out more, Dr. Spiegel, tell me how we're doing so far. Dr. Spiegel, are you still there?
Yeah,
I got him. On mute. Dr. Spiegel, where did you go? Did I? Oh, I see. Let me take him off mute. Dr. Spiegel, your mic is up.
I'm here.
Yes, sir.
How are we doing tonight, sir?
You're right on target.
With this discussion. What are your thoughts? I know your thoughts have to be just you gotta have some thoughts here.
Well, everything you said has been right on point. The video that you posted earlier today, talking about that, what you initially started with, that was so, once I stopped and thought about it, and because I've been in the religious realm for almost all of my life. I'm 46. I started preaching when I was 19. And a lot of stuff you go through the motion on, not really realizing that you've been connected to it all. You had some kind of connection to it all along, but when it's illuminated to the degree of what you're doing and what several others are doing to bring out that which has been hidden, it's mind blowing once it finally comes out, you know, and you have this grand epiphany of, man, had I known this back then, I'd be so much further ahead now. You can't cry over what you didn't know then. You got to just go with what you know now. And so I am grateful that you have this platform, you know, to be a part of this platform to enlighten or bring into the knowledge that which has been hidden from us for so long. And virtually hidden in plain sight.
Now that's really something, isn't it? It's right there, right in front of our face. But we were given the wrong filter or lenses to look through so that we saw it backwards.
Right.
They turned
right.
It upside down. According to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, you know, it says they turned everything upside down on them. So everything that we looked at was turned upside down. When you think about shutting down the five senses, for an example, Jesus had five wounds. You know, it's right there. Two in the hand, two in the feet, one in the thigh. David picked up five smooth stones. Satan said five times, I will. All of those are code and metaphors to tell us to shut down the five senses so that we can get enter into the Spirit. This is why in the Bible, the character Jesus can be crucified, because he knows that you can kill the body, but you can't kill the Spirit. It's
right.
It's powerful. It can tap when you learn to tap in and not go against creation. See, last week we talked about whole creation is groaning out of the book of Romans. Why is creation groaning? Why is it travailing in pain until now, as the scripture says? I'll tell you why. It says it right here. It says, because of this very reason, for the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestations of the Son of God. For we know, verse 22, that the whole creation groans and travails in pain until now. Why? It's because we are out of harmony. We're going backwards again, creation and the flow of everything. We've been given a language that goes from left to right that keeps us locked in the, not only just that, but also in the music industry. It locks us to the left side of our brain to keep us in a fear mode. So we cannot reach our powerful selves on the right brain. This is why Jesus said in John 21:6, cast your net to the right side. But being religious, now think about it for a moment. Why would Jesus say cast your net to the right side? How does that apply to us? Are you a fisherman? Do you have a boat? Do you have net?
I don't have a boat. I have some net, but
yeah,
I don't have a boat.
Okay, well, he said cast your net to the right side of the boat. And they caught 153 fishes. or fish. 153 is 1 plus 5 is 6 plus 3 is 9. That number 9 ties you to the cosmos. 144,000 is a frequency. 144,000. 1 plus 4 is 5 plus 4 is 9. It's a frequency. 666. 6 plus 6 is 12 plus 6 is 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. It's a frequency. It ties you to the 9 planets, ties you to the number 9, which is also coded in your DNA. And we can go on and on and on and on. Because this language not only has a frequency that has a numerical sequence, it also has a numerical sum.